What's up, everybody? It's your boy Flash from ALWT Gaming, aka Malachi 36. I am here with It's the Nine Ball. How are you doing today, good sir?
I'm doing.
You're doing what?
I'm doing good.
All right. As well as I heard, I'm doing twice, and then it just.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's it. There we go. I got to put my mic up closer.
Cool. That's good to hear. I'm glad you're doing good. Have you been playing anything over the past week since we've been going through this snowstorm?
Pretty much the usual, you know. Yu-Gi-Oh! We played some Raft last night. A lot of rafting. Got some, you know, No Man's Sky and Phasmophobia.
Heard that. Okay. And going on over to Mill Dewey Carey, it's harvest time, baby. How are you doing today, good sir?
Not even into the growing season, buddy.
It is your harvest season. You know what I mean? Turn down for what?
Sorry for the buzzing there, guys. Telemarketers. Ugh, I hate that. I'm doing good. Been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. Been playing Raft with Nine Ball, Gravity, TBF Abyss. We're probably going to be hitting up some Phasmophobia here after the stream with Hey It's Abs, maybe some TBF Abyss. And I just realized from monitoring our stream that my beard is blocked off again. Are you hating my beard? Is that why you stick me in the bottom corner? Again. Yeah, set up on Twitch. You keep blocking me. I keep getting blocked, guys. I think Malachi is trying to tell me something. What do y'all think?
No. What I'm saying,
put it in the comments.
What I'm saying is that your beard is the logo. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
So you're saying the beard represents, even though you can't.
Right now, if you guys are watching on the visual portion of this stream, you guys can see that we all are inside the same city right here. It's a nice little purple perp. But we just wanted to do something unification here on episode 6 of All Things Gaming 2022, season 2. A lot of things are coming out this month. A lot of things are coming out next month. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. Very exciting stuff. One of the things is going to be Sifu, which had just recently launched. I know that me, Ohio, a few others from ALWT Gamer were pretty excited about that game too as well. If you had pre-ordered it previously, you guys actually had the early access. If you did not and was just waiting for it to come out or for waiting for reviews, it is out today officially. So you guys can go to the PlayStation 4 store or the PS5 store, or you guys can go to PC, I believe, and purchase it. Yeah, you can play it on PC. So you guys can actually go to just go on PC and purchase it that way. I've been playing on the PS5, and I absolutely love it. What was your question?
I was about to say, what thing on the PC? Is it on, I think it's on Epic.
More than Epic? It's Slow Clap that makes it. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's on Steam.
It's not on Steam at all.
It's not. I like the animation there, Mill Dewey.
I'm gonna find it real quick. I'll find it.
Okay, awesome. I had previously actually done a 3-minute review. It's literally going to be wrapping up most of my thoughts about it within 3 minutes with a little bit of footage, gameplay footage of me playing it. So if you guys want to check that out, make sure you guys go youtube.com and just type in ALWT Gaming, or at least We Try Gaming. You guys should be able to find it there. It's going to literally be called the Sifu Review. You'll be able to see my review score there and all that good stuff. I am having a great time with this game. I really am. It is really, really, really tough. It's very tough. But the combat is really cool. You can feel like Tony Jaa. You can feel like Donnie Yen. You can feel like Jackie Chan. Like, it's actually pretty cool how they have it set up. You can choose female and male. So either one you can choose. You can kind of go off of that. There isn't any customization to it, so there's really no purpose as far as you just choosing female or male, besides just you just want to play as a guy or you want to play as a girl. And that's perfectly fine. There are some elements about it that's not so great, which, again, you guys can listen to the review for that. But I did want to go ahead and take some other reviews on here real quick. And this is from Game Rant. I'm going to that page right now. They actually have quite a few stuff to say about it. Alex Riviello had scrounged up all of their different reviews from several different sites, and here's what they had to say. So, Anthony T. I'm just gonna say that Taramina from Game Ramp gives it a 4.5 out of 5. This is what they said in their article. Sifu is a one-of-a-kind roguelike that marries an engaging setup with sublime combat mechanics. It scratches that integral itch that fuels subsequent runs, and it tries its best to avoid the feeling that time has been wasted. Progression exists in many different forms, but Slow Cop's standout title pulls off one of the more impressive versions of it. Sifu shows players they are actually getting better at the game. Going on over to Ben Reeves, also from Gambrant, gives it a 7.25 out of 10. He says, like a 20-year-old combatant, Sifu comes out the gate strong. Its core combat feels excellent, and the moment-to-moment action looks better than most Hollywood blockbusters. Sadly, as you progress, the action begins to show its teeth, eventually becomes a tiresome grind. Sifu deserves props for its incredible sense of style and tone, but also a great example of why growing old isn't always fun. That was Ben Reeves, by the way, from Game Informer. I can't remember if I said that or not. Right here, Richard Wakeling from GameSpot gives it a 9 out of 10 and says Sifu will likely ignite the difficult debate once again, and it's certainly a shame that more people won't be able to experience the game because of the barrier for entry. There's a design and mechanical justification for having such a steep learning curve, though it's part of what makes Sifu so compelling. Your journey from a student to master is thrilling, mainly because it's governed by your own improving skill level rather than traditional character progression. And then one more. I'm going to do Michael Saltzman from IGN says this in their article, giving it a 9 out of 10 as well, saying, from the very first punch, Sifu is utterly uncompromising in its design. Absolver developer Slowclap's latest martial arts beat-em-up is bold, its combat exquisite, and its animations top-notch. Its music outstanding, and its story, well, very simple. It's poignant and elegantly told. It's also unforgiving and unapologetic, with pockets of frustrating moments during which I was certainly not in my happy place. But by the end, Sifu offered me nearly an unparalleled sense of mastery and accomplishment, and I can't imagine that I would have enjoyed it as half as much as I did if it pulled its punches. So those are some of the... Go ahead.
I was about to say, by the way, I did check it. Sifu is on the Epic Game Store, so if you want to pick it up on PC, currently it's only on the Epic, so... And it's going for about $40, which is... Probably, I'm not sure. I've never played it, but would you say that's a decent price for it?
That's a perfect price for it. Price for it. And I say that because here's the thing. And again, I'm not going to go too much on this just because I know there's a full video out there. There are a total of 5 bosses in Sifu. Actually, I'm going to, it's perfect. It's perfect that, yeah, that's a little segue right there. See, it's the 9-ball. We're here. So on here. Hiron's Crier from Games Radar says this in their article. Sifu has been beaten in just 40 minutes with 0 deaths by one expert player. You can see the video from YouTuber Dan Allen, who's pulled off an impressive feat. The full 40-minute video shows Allen speedrunning his way from the very start of Slowclap's new game right the way through to the very end, pummeling every enemy and boss encounter that he comes across. This is one hell of a feat from Allen. Sifu has the player character age every time they meet their untimely demise, advancing in years and also strength while losing a portion of their health. Allen's managed to make it through Sifu here at age 20, which is the starting age for all Sifu players automatically begin at end story. And that's from GamesRadar, Hiron Crier. So with that being said, is there the capability of you beating it within an hour? Yes. Dan Allen just proved that you could do that. The likelihood of you beating these 5 bosses, let alone the stage, the full length of the stage to get there within that time period, it's probably going to take you, the average player, it's probably going to take you at least 12 plus hours to do it. And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and on top of that, there is replayability on there because there's when you go through it, there's going to be certain rooms that are locked that you can't get through initially. Also, like in the club, for example, there's different pathways you can take. So it's not going to be the same exact one for one each time through. And then I haven't beat the game myself, but I do know that there's other people that have beat it. And the way that they ended, they're like, I wonder if there's going to be another, like a secret ending or something like that. And it sounds like what Blessing had said on side their podcast for KFGD, he did say that looking at the trophy list, it looks like that there's going to be more to it than what we just have. And actually, there is also another thing, which I didn't include on here, but they did, Slowclap did actually talk about DLC for the game, which is really kind of surprising because it's a $40 title. But they did have DLC for the game that they have plans on. And also, it looks like they might be entertaining the idea of multiplayer. Which right now, it's only single player, but they're entertaining the idea of multiplayer for the game. So, with that being said, 40 bucks for the standard, 50 bucks for the deluxe, it's 1,000% worth it.
How much? How far do you age when you lose?
So that's a good thing. So, and that's an excellent question. So how it is that you start off at age 20. If you die, the counter goes up by one. So that, and it gets added to your age. So when you come back at 21. However, if you die at 21, the counter goes up by one more, which is, puts you at 2. That gets added to your age. So then you're at, instead of going to 22, you go up to 23.
23, okay.
Yeah, because it adds like that. So it's very easy. For me, I start my very first run. I got to the boss all the way through. I think I got to the boss roughly around low 30s. Then that boss was kicking my everlasting black booty. And literally, I finally beat him. But I beat him at age 72. That's how bad he was beating my butt. With that being said, when I go to the next stage, I start off at age 72. Which is not good. Because the minute you get knocked down in stage 2, like at that age, you're completely maxed out. So you just die and it's game over. And you just got to start that stage over again. Or you can go back to the first stage and try to get a better age point to carry on over to the second stage.
Okay.
So yeah, they kind of split it up that way. It's 100% a roguelike for sure. And how it looks is that like there's the opening of the game, you're a kid and you're left with this like little talisman, but the talisman has about like 5 different gold coins attached to them, and each gold coin represents 10 years. So for example, if I die at 20 and it goes up by 1, then I'm still at that gold coin number 1. But the minute I break my 20s and go to my 30s, that first gold coin breaks and goes away. And then the same rule applies for the other gold coins. So that way, once you get to that last gold coin, once it breaks, then next time you die, it's game over. So yeah.
For me, it kind of sounds like it was like an old game a long time ago called To Ash. It was an old indie title done by RPG Maker.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done on RPG Maker, I'm sorry. But on this game, you started off reverse. So you would start off at level 100.
And then go down. And
as you fight levels, you go down in levels, getting weaker as you went.
Right.
The object was to beat the boss, or was to get to the end of the game before you got too weak to beat the boss. Right. It's sort of like that, to where you would have to... You hit a point to where you get so strong, but because what I'm reading is basically you get real strong, but you get virtually no health at the end.
So to a point, because if you are fully maxed out in age, you are theoretically stronger, but me personally, I haven't seen a huge increase in damage that I'm really doing, to be completely honest with you.
All right.
I actually feel more the penalty of you not having as much health than I do the strength that you're dishing out to bosses and other people. You might, and that's probably what it is. I'm probably seeing more of that damage done to smaller minions and stuff. That's almost non-existent against bosses. Like, they're just kind of just as hard. So, Yeah, right now I'm against the second level boss right now. Well, I'm at that stage, I should say, because now I keep on restarting. Whenever I get to past a certain age, I just give up and then start back over because I don't want to carry that high of an age into stage three after experiencing my run through the first time. But yeah, I was about to say, I think my... You said what?
So you can handle it.
I don't know about that, my buddy. It's definitely it's a really fun game. And one thing that I mentioned inside the video too as well that I also thought was kind of cool is there's not really a whole lot of single player games that's designed to the point to where, like, if you were over at my house, Nineball, and we're just sitting there and we're playing, it's a single player game. I'm playing and everything like that. But if I die, I pass you the controller, like the old school way of doing it. This is a perfect game for something like that. So it is. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go on ahead and finish. I'm ask a question.
Yeah, I was about to say. So it definitely is something that is engaging, even though it's only one controller. It is something that's very engaging for people that's in the same household, if you want it to be that way.
One more quick question before we move on. You said it's roguelike. So when you die, like when I play, like what game was I playing? Okay, I can't think of the name of it. It was
Hades.
No, I bought it on PlayStation 5.
Oh, Medium?
No, not Medium.
Oh, that's not roguelike. Returnal.
Yeah, Returnal. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is it like Returnal to where as soon as you die, you come back and the level's changed?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that one I think is more specific to Returnal of how that goes.
Well, there's a few of them that do that. Like most roguelikes do that. Like Binding of Isaac and all of those where you die, your level will change a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it like that. So I just was asking to see if it happened like that on Sifu.
The only thing that's a little different for Sifu is, okay, so like everything else is exactly the same, pretty much verbatim. The only thing that's a little bit randomized is sometimes if you're fighting somebody, like just fighting a normal, ordinary person, there's these moves that you can do that will allow you to pretty much do an animation skill set and knock them out in a really cool way. And when you knock them out in that way, then you actually gain health back. So it's almost like a lifesteal capability. The thing about it, though, is that if you're fighting a normal person and they counter that, which is random at times... If they counter that, then they have a possibility of being like Super Saiyan, if you will. They have like a yellow aura around them and they become stronger and a little bit more of a martial artist versus just a normal bar thug. So you can kind of tell like who can turn that, who has that capability of turning into it. But because it's like above their health bar, it's like a little bit of like a gray aura and it like kind of flashes a little bit. So that tells you that if you do a finisher on them, there's a 50-50 chance that they might counter it. And if they counter it, then they'll transform and it will be a harder fight. So that's the only portion that is a little bit random because not all the time they transform. They just have the capability of doing that. So, yeah.
All right.
Definitely excellent game. Excellent game. And I highly recommend for people to check it out, especially if they like anything that's like Kung Fu. If you guys like The Bouncer back on PS2, and I said this in the review, if you guys like side-scroller beat-em-ups like Double Dragon or Ninja Turtles or anything like that, if you guys like fighting games in general, this is definitely the game for you.
Or maybe even fighting movies like Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon, something like that.
I 100% agree. Because I felt like Ip Man when I was out there. And what's cool about it is that you can do that whole little brrr, like the little quick barrage of punches. Or you could be a bit Jackie Chan and you're like running away and throwing and like kicking bottles at him or throwing stools or whatever. It's a really cool game. Really cool game. And so far I'm 3 for 3 on these $40 titles that's been hitting hard. That's Miles Morales, that's Canon Bridge of Spirits, and now it's Sifu. So there we go. Do you have any commentary on that at all there, Mel Dewey Carrot?
It seemed like an interesting game when I saw it and all, but I'm not big into fighter stuff and all, so not my cup of tea, but I'm definitely glad it's doing well coming out-wise. It does seem kind of short with only 5 bosses.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with the difficulty, as you stated, I mean, that's not as bad, but maybe they'll come out with a DLC or, you know, expansion to it, where it's like there's now, like, you know, all right, you've done the main story. now welcome to Undercity. You know, some, I don't know, something like that. Mm. Who knows what they'll do in this game? But I'm just happy it came out and did good. It's always good to hear about games doing good.
Yeah. And one last thing I want to throw out before we go on to the last story is that the DualSense on this, because, again, I'm playing on the PS5, is absolutely spectacular. You feel every little pitter-patter on the controller as the rain is hitting your body when you're walking through the rain. Because the tutorial, you're playing as the main villain through the tutorial, which is actually really cool. And then there's even parts where there's, like, fire. And you feel, it's weird to say it because the controller doesn't heat up, but you feel that fire crackling through, and like through, not only just through the speakers where you hear it, but you also feel it through the controller very, very uniquely, which is really cool. I have yet to actually fully try this with the Pulse headset, so I don't know exactly how that club scene is with my 3D audio. But so far, the other stuff that I've been experiencing with it, I haven't noticed any haptic feedback stuff for the game yet. So that has not really been existent, but the other features of the DualSense have been pretty nice. So I've been enjoying that. Story number two, which is the big one here. Big one here. Oh, and before we go on over to story number two, I do want to talk about the Fantasy Gaming League because Ohio deserves his due diligence. He's been suffering so long in 2021, he needed some good news, and he has some
and
good
news. And we did kind of give him a lot of crap about his deck. About his picks last year, though.
I mean, after D&D, I think he just gave up.
Yeah.
After D&D flopped that hard, I think he was like, he just folded. Collected whatever chips he had and just went home.
Now, for anyone that is curious about it, Fantasy Gaming League literally is how it sounds. It's very similar to fantasy football, but it is on a annual basis versus a weekly basis. And instead of being against one person at a time, weekly or bi-weekly, whatever the case is on fantasy football, you're against everybody at the same time. And it also goes off a 100-point scale, with 70 being the threshold. Anything that scores above 70 points on Metacritic gains you points. Anything below loses you points. And then there is a feature in there called counterpicks, to where you can screw up your opponent. So, for example, if I have Horizon Forbidden West on my list, and Mildewy Carrot decided to choose that as his counterpick, if it did poorly, which is very, very unlikely, if it did poorly, then he would gain those points. I would lose those points as normal. But if it did great, then I would gain those points, but while Mildewy Carrot loses those points. Also, we have a feature in there too as well, to where if you counterpick something that's on another person's list and it does not come out that year, that person cannot drop that game. So theoretically, you still screwed them over because now they're one list, one section short of earning any points. So the list goes like this. Ohio, represented by MOGA, which is Make Ohio Great Again, has Pokemon Legends Arceus, which got him 15 points right now. It's at 85 on Metacritic. Sifu got him 9 points, which got 79 on Metacritic. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga is pending to come out. Marvel's Midnight Sun, pending to come out. Elden Ring, pending to come out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, pending to come out. He has 2 open spots still, and he has a counterpick of Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, which is on Renzoku Ken's list. And now, going on over to Renzoku Ken, represented by Silent. He has He has God of War Ragnarok, Triangle Strategy, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, Chocobo GP, Kirby the Forgotten Land, Final Fantasy 16, Metro Pride 4, and he has an open spot, and he has Diablo Immortal as a counterpick, which is on Illuminati's Living's list. Then you have ALWT Gaming, represented by yours truly, has Horizon Forbidden West, A Plague Tale Requiem, Starfield, Ghostwire Tokyo, Gotham Knights, Redfall, Babylon's Fall, The King of Fighters 15, and Bayonetta 3, that's a counterpick, which is also on Illuminati's Living's list. Illuminati's Living by ILSB Live has Dying Light 2, Stay Human, got him 7 points, Bayonetta 3, pending, Strangers of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins, pending, Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, pending, Diablo Immortal, pending, Shovel Knight Dig, pending. He has 2 open spots. Zaka Corp, represented by It's Nineball, has The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, pending, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, pending, Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl, pending, Saints Row, pending, Total War Warhammer 3 pending. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 pending. He has two open spots, and he has a Marvel counterpick of Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is on MOGA. Yep, Michael Howe,
yeah, Michael Howell, great list.
And then lastly, we have Carrot Patch Inc., which is represented by Mildewy Carrot. Gran Turismo 7 pending. Forspoken pending. Tunic pending. Splatoon 3 pending. Stray pending. Salt and Sacrifice pending. Advanced War 1 plus 2 reboot camp pending. He has an open spot, and he has a counterpick of Chocobo GP, which is on Silence list. So there you have it. We have it's going to be a pretty hefty, fantastic couple of days. So we'll have to see how this is going to be, or a couple of months, I should say. So we'll have to see exactly how this is going to pan out. We're going to be real busy. But speaking of busy, story number two. GTA 6 is finally on the way. ... Adi Maku from GameSpot says this in their article. Rockstar Games has officially confirmed that the next Grand Theft Auto game is in development. It's not just getting started either, as Rockstar said in a blog post that the new project is, quote, well underway, end quote. Whether or not the new game is called GTA 6 or something else remains to be seen. The studio did not reveal any specifics about the new game, which is rumored to have a Fortnite-style evolving map. Presumably, the new game is being developed by multiple Rockstar studios, as the company has done for some of its biggest releases, like Red Dead Redemption 2 most recently. While Rockstar isn't ready just yet to divulge specifics on the next GTA, the company said that its general philosophy with the new games is to significantly move beyond what it achieved before. Quote, with the unprecedented longevity of GTA 5, we know many of you have been asking us about a new entry of Grand Theft Auto series. With every new project we embark, our goal is to significantly move beyond what we have previously delivered, and we are pleased to confirm that the active development for the next entry of GTA series is well underway. This is what Rockstar said. We look forward to sharing more as soon as we are ready. End quote. End story. So, I want to ask this because I know we all kind of dabbled a little bit in GTA, any of them. What is everyone's expectation for GTA? I want to start with you, Mildewy. What's your expectation for GTA in general? Do you care about GTA? And what does this news do anything for you? Also, what do you predict that this is going to happen as well for the future?
I'll admit, I am not a big fan of GTA. I tried it out. It's just too rigid. And, of course, I probably came on a time when there were too many trolls on there. So I just didn't end up having a good time on it at all. I really don't care for it. The news does really nothing for me, except, you know, hopefully they do better than GTA 5. I'm not saying GTA 5 was bad. I'm just saying they've got to step it up with GTA 6 to try and keep people happy, you know, with what they're doing. And to be honest, GTA 5, mainly a lot of people preferred was the online thing, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they're going to do. Are they going to do what they did with 5, where you have separate solo campaign and then you've got the online play? Or are you just going to have a game where it's online play that has the campaign in it, you know? So it'd be kind of interesting to see what they do and how they're going to do it. But on that, I don't care.
Nightball.
I've not really played much of 5. I have 5. I keep trying to get into it, but I can't really get into it. I guess it's one of those games that we played a lot when I was like in college, I used to play a lot with friends, and we used to play a lot when we was in, like, our friends was in college, and we would drop by and we would just see them, and then we would play like some maybe Grand Theft Auto Vice City or something. A little bit of 5. I mean, not 5, but San Andreas. Mm-hmm. But it's a game that for some reason I never really kept tabs on it. Like 4, I didn't really play much of 4. I played some of 4, not a lot. And 5, I played some of 5, but I just can't get into it like I used to. This doesn't really do much for me. I'm glad that they're working on it, and I have some questions about it, but it's probably going to be one of those titles I'm going to wait on. I feel like it really won't matter anyway, but
I would say about 4 or 5 years out, though, personally. So for me, it's not big of a deal.
I feel that. I am somebody that I, all right, so let me start off by saying I actually don't care about 5 either. I own it, and the only purpose of me like wanting to play for my own enjoyment was just so I can complete it, since I do own it, just so I can beat the game, get off my backlog, and move on. Am I pressed to finish it immediately? No, not really. I mean, some of the dialogue is funny in it, for sure. Gameplay, I mean, it's standard and everything like that. I am in that camp that, like, I'm very curious to see what GTA 6 is. I have a buddy of mine who plays Grand Theft Auto 5 faithfully, and even after the stream today, we might be jumping on it today, to be completely honest with you. But he plays it faithfully, and he's just like, what else can they do with it? I'm like, do you not see the graphics? This is a PS3 game. Like, they could do... That's one thing you could already do right now, right then and there. You could make it much more fluent. You could give it different events that are catered to 6. You can have the combat be a little bit more intuitive. Like, bring it to more modern-day type stuff. Because even, like, if you look at Saints Row, like, it's been around since... like, when was the... I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the later Saints Row came out after that. I don't think it was the last. Like, I think Get Out of Hell came out after GTA 5. I could be completely wrong about it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
So Saints Row 4 came out in 2013 in August.
That already sounds like... Yeah, I was about to say, that already sounds like it's been out after GTA 5, because I think GTA 5 came out in 2007.
So you Get Out of Hell came out in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
For GTA 5?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the PS3 version? Because that's what it came out on.
I think it came out 3 and 4, I want to say.
Yeah, it came out on 4, definitely. But
it came out on both, didn't it? Or, I guess I don't pay attention to this game enough.
Go look up GTA 5 PS3 release date. Let's take a look at that, see if that tells me anything. Because I'm pretty sure this game's even older than that. No, that's what it's saying. It's saying, see, and that's the thing. It's weird that, because it says September 17, 2013, but it says platforms of PS4, Xbox Series X/S, PS5. It didn't come out. Like, those consoles weren't out at that time. So, but again, maybe the initial first it ever came out was 2013. Grand Theft Auto 4 was 2008. Grand Theft Auto, okay. San Andreas was 2004, so it's just really weird in general that
because Grand Theft Auto 5 began to be crafted in 2008 is when they apparently began production.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately, there's definitely, I still think that I'm in that camp that there's a lot that you can still do. I am curious.
Go ahead. Sounds like you're just talking about like a remaster of 5 at that point, you know?
Well,
like just revamping up the graphics. I mean that's all you said. I mean, I didn't, like you said events and all, but it's like, well, what's the story gonna be? Like, where are you gonna be at? What are you gonna be doing? You know, what's the world gonna be like? Are you gonna be in the same world? Are you gonna be in a whole new world? Like, how are you gonna do it? Like, I'm gonna say this, like, the one thing I kind of got turned off on, especially when I first tried GTA 5, was this campaign mode. And the fact that they gave you characters to play. And don't get me wrong, I like playing games that have characters that you can do that with, but just the GTA series kind of makes you feel like I should just be able to make my own character and go into this world of doing it, like me personally being in there versus playing as someone. Like, you should have both options, but they only gave you the one, which is like odd, because like, you know, games like Saints Row, you can make your own character and build it up and go through the same story that anyone else could. So it's like, I don't know why they had to tell, say, like, you know, maybe like make those stories that you were going to do, saying, here's this person's story. It was like, side game stuff, like side extra story mission stuff, like saying play as this person to get more stuff or more lore about the world, you know, something like that. But like, if I'm going to play the game of GTA 6 now, it's like I want to be able to play it as me, as my character. I want to make a mildewed carrot in the game and do whatever the heck mildewed carrot wants to do. I want to go driving down the interstate while cops are chasing me in a freaking tractor, and I'm like, I got that thing tricked out with a freaking nitro system, and I'm blazing down the road, you know?
Well, and that's the thing I wanted to take this at. I don't think that would make sense for GTA 6. I think that makes sense for GTA Online. Because that's what the, I don't see GTA Online going away, even though they're going to make another GTA game. GTA Online is still going to be there. That's where you can make your person. They're probably going to evolve that a little bit more. Maybe they'll go ahead and do some sort of remaster or something like that. But I think that 6 itself as a core game is going to be something that's more of a single-player experience like they have. And maybe phase GTA Online to be a separate thing, as you're saying, to where you can just go down the highway and all that good stuff.
Well, I mean, I understand the online aspect of being that. But what I'm saying also is, like, just the solo play as well is, like, it just, I don't... I guess it's just at the time when I was playing it all, and even going back and trying to play it, just I felt it's like, okay, you know, with the story, I feel like right now you get more out of the multiplayer than single player in GTA. Like I'm kind of curious actually now to see how many people have bought the game and have skipped single player and gone straight just to online.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you know that exists.
So with that in mind then, and with them only upgrading the multiplayer aspects, it's like, are they going to do the same formula that they did and have people wait for multiplayer to come out, or are they just gonna say, you know what, maybe multiplayer is gonna be the better option for GTA while keeping it in the GTA universe and having, say, those solo missions that do not like activate a, you know, a search function and multiplayer aspect. You know, can you turn it to where it's like you're either online or offline, but still in the same world, you know?
Well, the thing with that, though, is that I still think that you keep the single-player experience as a preset character. Maybe create your person, but even that's a stretch. And I say that for the simple fact is that online, you can have a private lobby with just you, and you can invite whoever, then run the town that way, do missions, all that good stuff. So that already exists in this space of that. I really do think that for GTA 6, it's just going to be a narrative thing, very similar to, like, Sleeping Dogs or any Watch Dogs or something like that, to where you don't actually create your person. You just have a person that you are controlling and going through the plot line of that, because there's a specific story being told. And then if you wanted to have something more open, more free, do whatever it is that you want, take up any type of mission, that's what GTA Online is going to be for. And that's what I think is going to be kind of elevated to that GTA 6 level. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to do that for people that's already... Because GTA 5 in general, when that was created, that was in the era to where you had the campaign experience, and then there was always had like a attachment rate of multiplayer included with it. So like Uncharted, you had the Uncharted team deathmatch stuff that was attached to that. Even for Saints Row, the first one, there's a team deathmatch that was attached to that. It didn't need to have team deathmatch, but it did. And then just stuff like that. Like, it was in that era, PS3, 360 era, where the campaign had a multiplayer attachment rate to it. Now, fast forwarding here to 2022, that doesn't necessarily have to exist anymore. You can have it to where Ghost of Tsushima can have Legends, even though that was attached. Now it's starting to become its own thing. Like, it doesn't have to be... It could be Ghost of Tsushima, and you can go on as Jin Sakai, or you can go ahead and play Ghost of Tsushima Legends and be able to do multiplayer with your friends and choose a hunter, warrior, anything like that. Same thing for GTA 6. I think that that's... Or GTA Online. I think that that's kind of the route that it's going to start taking little by little. But yeah, but I say all that to say, I don't care about this game.
I don't know, Nineball. He seemed pretty invested with those counter arguments there.
I was about to say,
too well thought out for someone who doesn't care.
I'm curious to see what GTA 6 is, and if it's an interesting story concept that grabs me, then I'll probably give it a go. But GTA 5, like, I just feel like just GTA 5 in general, like, I'm interested in the beat it just because I own it. That's really the only purpose. Outside of that, it's a game I only play when my friends are wanting to jump on. Or, like, I'd rather play something else, but if they want to play GTA 5, hey, I'll jump on GTA 5 with you. But I do feel like it's something that's outgrown, because now when I think about GTA, I think of You've done all the missions. Now you're just going out there blowing stuff up. You're just going out there trying to get 5 stars and outrun the cop. That, like, to me as a 32, 33 year old guy, it just doesn't make sense to me anymore.
It's like, why would I do that in game when I could just go out to my car and do it in real life?
I mean, I don't know if I'd do that, but it's just, but yeah, but it's just one of those things where just,
I'm not at 5 stars yet. Yeah. Hey, pull it over.
Yeah, I just feel like I outgrew the mayhem. Because that's yeah. kind of what it was. Because that was awesome when you were a kid. When you were a teen, trying to do that on PS3, PS2. Like, that was so much fun. But now it's just like, all right, I don't care about doing that anymore. And, like, it just, I don't know. I'd just rather just get through the story, do stuff that interests me, and then on to the next one. GTA just doesn't have that interest for me, a level for me anymore. Story number three, we call this one PlayStation Nation, because we have two topics over here for PlayStation. Steven Petit from GameSpot says this about the PlayStation VR 2. While it's unclear when the PSVR 2 will launch, it's a safe bet that PSVR 2 pre-orders will sell out quickly. If you're a PS5 owner anxiously waiting to get the next-gen VR headset, you should sign up for Sony's mailing list that just went live on the PlayStation's official site. Sony will send PlayStation VR 2 news, including details on when you can pre-order, directly to your inbox. Considering how many PS5 pre-orders sold out when they were live, you'll definitely want to know exactly when the headset is available to order. In addition to the pre-order details, Sony will send updates on the headset's development, game announcement, and release dates. You have to be logged into the PlayStation account and click the button at the bottom of their page to sign up. I'm going to stop right there real fast. I did go ahead and indeed sign up, just so you guys know. So if you guys are ever over, we're VRing it up. The new PlayStation website page for the PSVR 2 also outlines the headset's features as well as a myriad of tech specs. As revealed at CES, the PSVR 2 has an OLED display capable of running in games in 4K with HDR up to 120Hz. The headset uses Sony's Sense technology, which includes precisely inside-out tracking powered by tiny cameras. Perhaps most notably, the PSVR 2 has eye tracking, which intends to add another layer of immersion. The brand new Sense controllers have finger touch detection and motion sensors and haptic feedback. The headset itself also offers haptic feedback. That's new to me. The headset itself also offers haptic feedback. Interesting. For more information on the upcoming headset, check out our roundup of all the PSVR 2's technical specifications revealed so far. That's part one. I'm going to talk about part two, and then I want to take it on over to Nineball and just talk about the whole thing. Tom Warner from The Verge says this about the acquisition of Bungie. and also about the 10 live service games that's going to be coming. So he says this in their article from The Verge. Sony's surprise acquisition of Bungie earlier this week for $3.6 billion was about a lot more than just Destiny. In an investor call today, Sony had revealed its plans to launch more than 10 new live service games by March 2026. That's a hugely ambitious plan. And marks a major expansion for Sony's PlayStation games beyond its traditional console exclusives. Quote, the strategic significance of this acquisition lies not only in obtaining the highly successful Destiny franchise, as well as a major new IP Bungie is currently developing, but also incorporating into the Sony group the expertise and technologies Bungie has developed in the live game service space, end quote. Says Sony CFO Hiroki Totoki. Quote, through close collaborations between Bungie and PlayStation Studios, we aim to launch more than 10 live service games by the fiscal year ending in March 2026. It was clear that Sony's Bungie acquisition was all about competing with Fortnite, but now those ambitions look even broader. Bungie's next IP, codenamed Matter, is rumored to be a multiplayer action game with character-based gameplay. Bungie said last year that its next IP will launch before 2025, but that's just one game out of 10. And Eurogamer points out that there are signs of many more in the works. Last of Us developer Naughty Dog has been building a multiplayer game for years. Horizon Zero Dawn developer Guerrilla has hired for roles related to online games. PlayStation London Studios is also working on a new PS5 online game, end quote, end story. And I want to take the question. I have a couple questions for you there, Nineball, and I want to have the same questions for you there, Mildew and Carrot. First question is the PlayStation VR 2, does that interest you at all? The second question, going on over to the second part, the 10 acquisitions, I mean, the 10 acquisitions, the 10 live service games that's supposed to be anticipated to launch before March 2026, so 4 years out. And we know one of them is going to be a brand new IP by Bungie. What other, like, what does this news do for you? But also, what games do you think would Bungie be touching on as far as helping out with the live service portion of PlayStation?
First question. Oh my god. Not really interested in VR. I just had this image of haptic feedback of some guy getting choked and haptic feedback as part of a video game, and he's like choking in real life. Mom, my head hurts. Haptic feedback. Jerking his head around. Stop playing Sifu, son. Every time you get a concussion.
That's for the real gamers.
Ready Player One.
Thanks.
PlayStation VRs never really interest me. None of them really have. I mean, I just like playing it on my thing. I don't want to put it on like a headset and all that. So I'm not hugely into PlayStation VR. As for the second one, I don't know. I got images of Anthem. Last time I heard live service, I think of Anthem now.
Oh, get that out of your head. I mean, I say that because there's a lot of live services games that are doing well.
Are by they? 10 by 20, I can't even think of none really from Bungie though.
Oh, yeah, specifically from, well, Destiny.
Yeah, Destiny, but that's about it. I can't really...
Go ahead.
Outside of that, they don't really have, like, a huge library.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much I can really draw upon. I'm really making you want to go, yeah, well, I'm a, this game, that game, and that game could be a live service game. The only thing maybe I could think of is maybe a Uncharted or a... either an Uncharted or maybe a Last of Us style live service style game, something like that. But for by 2026, 10 games,
mm-hmm.
10 games,
yep,
in 4 games. Years,
yep, that's what they're planning.
Okay. I'll say this, I'll be optimistic. So maybe they can do it. They probably be able to do it.
All right.
I'm gonna wait and see what these 10 games are before I say anything.
Right. Okay. Mill, do we care?
Yeah.
Same questions.
I forgot the questions.
First question was, what does the news for the PSVR 2 do for you? Do you even care about PSVR 2? Second question is about Bungie working with PlayStation, 10 live service games that they're planning on having slated for 2024 or earlier.
Okay. I knew that last one. That was the first one I forgot. VR, I'm kind of with Nineball, and I'm not too interested in it just because, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a very interesting concept to go into virtual worlds and all and be able to see it and actually interact with it physically. It just, I feel like right now the technology is kind of limited in that aspect of being able to truly do that. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, when they're bringing haptic feedback in, it sounds interesting, except for when you say it's on the headsets and all, I fear the people who play Sifu in VR and get a headshot and, you know, pretty much. I just see that commercial. It's like, I'm playing Sifu. You see the kids just go launching off to the side because Sony was like, haptic feedback. Pretty much. I'm like, I see that commercial and just, it's like, I feel like that's going to be the norm now. It's like, you know, you're going to have these kids like, yeah, I can do it. Gunk.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
But so I'm skeptical I mean, I'm glad they're working. I'm not going to say I'm skeptical. I said skeptical beforehand, but I'm glad they're working on it and trying to evolve it, because I definitely want to get to that aspect of, like, you know, the Ready Player One movie, or, like, you know, SAO or Log Horizon Source, where it's like you can log in and play these games, or, like, you know, Bofuri, where it's like you can play these games virtually. We're not at those levels of Bofuri and SAO and Log Horizons yet, but it's interesting to go there, you know, yeah, to try and get to those points where we can just put on the headset and truly interact as our bot, as ourselves in the game, you know, in a way. It'd be kind of interesting, though. There's people who hate it because they're like, well, I can't play like that because I'm not fit enough. I'm like, well, congratulations. Download the treadmill sim and you'll get there. You know? In terms of Bungie and the 10 games, I'm going to be very on the fence on this one. On the other side, kind of looking over like the neighbor from, you know, Tim the Tool.
Home Improvement.
Yeah, from Home Improvement. Just kind of looking over going like, you done this yet?
Wilson.
This is just like... Like, I'll wait for them to actually announce these games.
Put your mouth behind the logo.
What are you doing, neighbor? What you working on?
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, so I'm going to wait for them to fully come out with information on it to tell us what these games are and how they're doing on them before I actually say, yes, they can, you know. Because right now, they're like 10 games in 4 months, in 4 years. I'm like, y'all realize COVID's still going on, right?
Yeah.
you know? Yeah. And there's a lot of games that are like, yeah, we're pushing it back a year or two. So.
Mm-hmm. How many people work at Bungie?
I mean, after they give us something, they'll probably get some more for sure. But it's like, I still don't think it would be enough to put out a good IP.
They did also, on a quick little side note to what Nineball just said, there was another article where I read where Sony had dropped $1.6 or $1.3 billion to keep it their associates at Bungie 2 as well. So I don't know what that number, I don't know if they were about to be like, hey, yeah, our contract's over, we're going to go ahead and go elsewhere. Or they're like, hey, no, if you guys stay, we'll go ahead and give you some money. So
it might be because, like I said, Bungie really has a bit. I don't really like the... Okay, taking a high end, assuming they got 900 employees.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
That's assuming they got 900. Clear.
Okay. I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna be that person and discourage them and be like, no, you can't do this at all. I'm like, very ambitious. I'm just gonna kind of, you know, wait to see what you guys, you know, put out, you know, what information you're gonna give me. So, and we'll go from there.
All right, that. I'm gonna talk about the 10 live services first. Actually, no, I'm going to talk about the VR first. So that one is one I've always been interested in VR, just never brought myself around to getting it for anything, even PlayStation, for the simple fact of the matter, it's the same issue that I have with early stages of Switch and early stages of Xbox. There's just not really a whole, like, as much as I love the idea, there's really not a whole lot that is like, I'm getting this console, this pretty much this brand new console to play with. Like, there really isn't. With VR2, those features are really, really intriguing me. The fact that it sounds like that a lot of the old PSVR library, it can be played on the PSVR2, that's also good. And lastly, the first game that they kind of shown off for PSVR2, Horizon Forbidden West, or Horizon Call of the Mountain, like, that looks good to me. so it has my interest right now. It definitely has my interest. I am very much in that camp where I just, like, obviously I want to live, but I would like to be fully immersed like SAO, to where I could just freely move my body around and all that good stuff, have a good time doing it that way. I mean, you feel like we're generations off from that, but still, like, it would be really cool to just get close to that in my lifetime. So that is PSVR 2. It's probably the closest to VR that I would actually invest and go into, and the haptic feedback to give you that more immersion, like they were saying inside the article, I am very excited for that. So yeah, so this one's definitely higher up on my list, higher up even now that I know that there's the headset of the haptic feedback. And I promise Mildew Care, I will not get Sifu for this, so I won't get a concussion and get knocked out.
Just see little Malachi Jr. be like, yeah, yeah, just flying off screen.
I mean, to be fair, if he needs to take a nap, that's a way to do it. but yeah, no. So,
K-O.
So that's my thoughts on that with the PSVR. The acquisition. The 10 live service games. I think it's very possible, but I think it's very possible in the sense that they're like, hey, we're working on them. Doesn't mean we'll actually hit 2024. There might be some games that's delayed. They might get closer to six. I think that they could do six within the next 4 years, but especially if they have assumably 900 people. And then also it also does depend on what those games are, because it doesn't mean that it has to 1,000% just be Bungie. If it is, like Nineball said, if it is Last of Us Factions, That's something that's already has a makeup of it. It's already had factions on the first Last of Us. So if you have another Last of Us that's coming out, maybe Bungie can help with that, and that could be considered as one. Same thing for Insomniac with the Spider-Man. If they wanted to have a multiverse, a Spider-Verse, into the Spider-Verse and stuff like that, have different types of Spider-Mans that's out there, and have almost not really an MMORPG setting, but again, something that's kind of live service-y, Ghost of Tsushima style, but with Spider-Man, Gwen, Black, anything like that. Like, that would be kind of...
I would love a Spider-Man game with Gwen in it.
I won't be surprised. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we see that in Spider-Man 2, which is supposed to come out next year. You know what I mean? Like, just stuff like that. Like, I think that those types of IPs kind of count is what they're kind of going for, because they're not saying that they all have to be necessarily... Well, I think one of them did say... 10 new live service games, but they're not they're not brand new IPs per se. So it could be something that already exists, but they're just making it more live service-y now. So that's kind of where my thought is about that. And of course, I did listen to certain podcasts about when this news had broke before we did our show today. I did listen to their thoughts as well, and some of the thoughts some of the thoughts I did go ahead and share were their thoughts too as well. And I was like, all right, yeah, that'd be interesting if they did that. And I would love to have a Spider-Man. Just imagine if all three of us are inside of like you create your own Spider-Man, and you have everyone obviously could web swing everything like that, but if you have certain elements, maybe you're electric, maybe one's fire, maybe one is more mechanics like a Batman Spider-Man, and we all team up.
Well, they did have to. I believe the Spider-Verse. I remember the classic Spider-Man had the one with the Doc Ock tentacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was the one Spider-Man that he got so out of control that his whole upper body was a legit spider. If you guys remember that one. It was like he was a monster spider. He couldn't control himself. So
I kind of wanted them to bring back also the mutant Spider-Man. Instead of him being like, just have like the spider crawling powers, super strength, and they'll actually have like the full mutant capabilities.
I know
they took those away for a while, but mostly right nowadays in these games, all you've seen is the is where he's got the web shooters and all that. So
yeah. So I'm just
interesting to see what you can play it with, but you know, definitely be down for Spider Gwen.
And with the latest movie that came out too, with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and Tom.
Oh, Holland, okay, that one.
Yeah. Even with that, it is showing.
Tobey Maguire first, you scared me.
Honestly, and most people actually think that that's the Spider-Man for them. But just in general, though, with that movie existing, shows that they could do a game in that same fashion if they wanted to. So just something to think about, and I think it's something that they could toy with. Will it be a full fledged 10? I'll be impressed if they do, and if they do it successfully, I'll be impressed about that. And who's even to say that all the 10 of these live service games have to be good? Maybe this is them taking risks. Because now Bungie's underneath Sony. They can take all the risks that they want. I mean, now granted, they were going to do that before anyway. But just saying in general, they can take more risks if they want to.
Yeah, it's about taking risks, but just don't make a bunch of stupid plays where people just lose faith in you. I mean, if you release like 10 games and they all suck, you sell them a high price, they're going to see the Bungie name and just go, well, I bought the last two and they sucked. So, you know.
Well, and that's the reason why, and that's the reason why you tie it to someone like Bungie, because they're not going to, that more than likely they're not going to be ruining their own reputation, PlayStation or not. Bungie is Bungie. Like, we are the people that made Halo before we left Xbox. We are the people that made Destiny, and it's going on stronger than ever right now. Like they have weight behind their name. So I think that's one of the reasons why you do entrust something of a project of this caliber to someone like Bungie, or if it's something like if Insomniac was in this position, then you would trust it to someone like Insomniac or Naughty Dog or Guerrilla or Sucker Punch. Like, Sucker Punch, I think, kind of came out the gate as now of a top tier type of studio, mainly because of Ghost of Tsushima. They've been around before that, but I think Ghost of Tsushima definitely put them on.
Consider more of the probably like magnum opus. Mm. Another game I was thinking about, and I've never really played it, but I've heard a lot of good things about it, and they should revive it. Killzone.
I've been here. Yeah, that was actually one of the podcasts I listened to. They mentioned that. I don't know if that's going to happen. Another Killzone. One. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, it was just the Killzone started out really well on very PlayStation, well. And then it just seemed to fall off. As mm-hmm. they went, I think it was like past like 3 is when I think I heard it started to go downhill, at least from my friends. You know, they said 3 just started to just.
Well, there's a couple of things I've heard today. It was talking about reviving. I mean,
Real quick, just I have 3 games I do want to say that I think would be go interesting for them. Well, no, you go first. But I was about to say, I just know that I have 3 games after you're done saying that I wanted to throw out there and get your guys' thoughts about it. Go ahead.
Bungie.
No. Now, actually going ahead, because mine is something else.
So all of them are shooters, first and foremost. Just want to throw that out there. But one, and I think we had talked about this before previous on the show, one of them is Resistance, that they brought back Resistance. The second one is MAG, if any of you guys remember that.
I remember MAG.
Yeah. And then the third one is bringing back SOCOM. What do you guys
think? I remember SOCOM. What about Haze?
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a really good one, actually. What about Fuse? Get us back. Give us back Fuse. You know what I mean? We saw what happened after the credits right there, Mildewy.
Oh, God,
man. I mean, Resistance sounds like a good one. I actually kind of enjoyed that one. At least the first one. And just
Three was awesome. Three's where I actually jumped in at. I actually haven't played the first two.
So, the first one, just I like the combination of Aliens and World War II. That was fun. And then, I mean, to be honest, it was a very good series. It was actually one of my stronger ones on PS3. Is one of the things I heard a lot of people playing of is that. MAG, I'm not familiar with that one.
That was a 250 people against 250 people against 250
people. I've never played it, but I had like a, I got to show you, I had like a video on gamers, and they talked about the whole history of MAG and how it worked and stuff.
So... yeah, I definitely didn't get involved in that, so
yeah,
I'll probably
pass. I did.
I can see that. SOCOM, I've heard of them, never played them, so I really can't give any feedback on besides it's a specialized Call of Duty from the looks of it.
I mean, yes and no. If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong here, Nineball, but SOCOM came out first, right?
No, what I'm saying is it's a specialized Call of Duty in terms of you're through the eyes of the Navy SEALs, which
SEALs are
a spec ops team. So
it's
Call of Duty, but you're doing Black Ops. So it's kind of like, I don't know, like maybe like towards the end of the other Call of Duty.
It's more tactical, because now Call of Duty's makeup is you run and gun. U.S. Navy SEALs was, you were that Navy SEAL. You had to correlate your shots. You went in there assassinating people. It's very much like a multiplayer Metal Gear Solid, if you will. Maybe not. Go ahead.
I'm thinking kind of like Arma or something like that on PC.
I can't relate to that. Yeah, but I can't correlate to that because I don't even know what that is. But SOCOM was one of the ones where you can have, like, it was on PS2. You can plug your adapter into the back, have the little dial up Ethernet cord plugged in there too as well. Play with your friends online and just go through each stage. But it was definitely a more tactical shooter progression, if you will.
I played that game.
I know I had it,
but I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
So many should I remember Siphon Filter whenever you say that.
That, yeah, I remember that too, Siphon Filter. There was another one too as well. I can't. It was like very similar to Siphon Filter, and I can't remember the name of it with the laugh of me right now. Oh, crap, there's a couple of them. I just want to throw it out there just to think about it as these news kind of comes out when PlayStation and Bungie start talking about their live service games. Hopefully we'll see something this year. Does anyone believe we're going to see any live service games from Bungie/PlayStation this year? I know the acquisition hasn't been finalized, but that doesn't say that they can't stop making the game in general.
Sorry, I
didn't mean to cut you off there, Nineball. I was just going to say, I don't feel like we're going to see, like, are you talking like seeing a game drop this year? Or are you talking like just seeing information about the game this year?
Information.
Possibly towards the end of the year, I would say. Like, either if the earliest is going to be probably end of July, beginning of August, and then latest would be like final, like maybe game of the year awards.
Okay, I can see that. All right.
I was going to say really with that one, I wasn't too sure because, like you said, they may show. I'm going to say they probably will. They're coming out in 4 years. They might show like maybe a clip of one or something. But it's pending based on how it goes. I think, like I said, with their deal, it's almost definitely going through. So I feel like they may show something because it's going to be coming out in 4 years. I might mention something on we're currently working on some titles, which we're going to have ready for you later on or something like that.
Okay. Before we go on to story number four, I do want to remind you guys that if you guys like energy drinks or anything like that, you guys go to repsports.com. Type in LWT Game at checkout, get 50% off your Raise energy drinks, your water, your workout powders, your water supplements, all that good stuff. Rep Sports, REPP, and that's P as in Paul, sports.com. Just type in LWT Game at checkout. Also, want to thank everybody that's been watching us on Spotify, Anchor, iTunes, whatever it is that you guys are watching us on, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. If you guys have a Amazon Prime account, you guys have Twitch Prime. That's a free sub that you guys can sub to any Twitch streamer. If you guys would be willing to give it to us, we would appreciate that and love that. If not, you guys could support another streamer with it. Just go ahead and on their page, use that Prime sub or that Twitch Prime, and you guys can give them a free $5 pretty much on a monthly basis. So turn down for what? Story number four. Ghostwire Tokyo updates. So Marcus Stewart from Game Informer says this in their article. And this is back from Thursday, by the way, when we were doing our stream. So today, Thursday, Tango Gameworks provided the first extended look at Ghostwire Tokyo's moment-to-moment gameplay and other activities players can get into throughout the haunted Tokyo. A pair of videos provides a walkthrough of the game's action, while a developer interview reveals that the team's design process. We already knew that the game's story is set after Tokyo's population disappears thanks to the arrival of dangerous yokai or spirits. You play as a lone survivor, Akito, who awakens possessed by a spirit named KK, who imbues you with the elemental powers. This element, this power is called ethereal weaving, and let you channel the elements of fire, wind, and water. Executing these moves resembles a blend of Doctor Strange's spellcasting and Avatar: The Last Airbender's bending, thanks to its flashy, elaborate hand gestures. Physical weapons complement your spells, such as a bow and various talismans, and you can stealth attack enemies instead of blasting them head-on. Among other features, the first video shows off Akito Tango abilities, which lets him fire a spirit tether to grapple and ascend buildings. We also got a look at the corrupted fog-covered areas players must clear out, and surreal shape-shifting areas that evoke the psychological horror of Tango Gameworks' previous series, The Evil Within. The game release itself is supposed to be March 25th, 2022. So again, one shout out I want to throw out there. We knew before last week that Ghostwire Tokyo was supposed to come out in 2022. We already knew that. What we did not know, though, is that this was going to be a surprise announcement that they had last week, because they actually announced that they were going to show something about Ghostwire Tokyo. They announced that on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. And then we got the event on Thursday when we were streaming. And then on Thursday, not only did they give us a release date, but that release date is a little over only 1 month away, which is shocking. Normally, something like that, if you're going to have a release date, you're going to be expecting it at least maybe about 5-6 months out. This is less than 2 months out. And this is the first we're hearing about it. Got the release date on the 4th, on the 3rd. That's going to be coming out in less than 2 months. So, I give the question over to Mildew and Carrot first, and then going on number 9 ball. Does Ghostwire Tokyo interest you? What does this news do for you? And what do you, what is going to be your expectation entry level of this game?
So I'm definitely interested in Ghostwire Tokyo. I kind of want to see, because it kind of looks like some mix. So it feels like almost like, you know, I want to say maybe kind of like Resident Evil with like Naruto in a way, you know, because you're like, you're in there, you're doing some stuff, you're actually fighting these spiritual beings, which almost seems like, you know, parkour capabilities and whatever abilities that you got from the creatures that are there. So I'm very interested to see the game and to play it. It coming out March 25th just, you know, means that they're starting to get towards a finalized date, which is cool. But I will just stress that we have seen games do a release date and then still push it back.
Right.
So I'm not going to gold stamp it right now. But I am, it does tell me that they are getting to an endpoint, which is very exciting. Coming out, I think it's going to be a very unique game. Definitely seems like it's got that, like I said, the mix of psychological horror with like combat. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they do it and what puzzles and, story that they put into this game. So I'm very intrigued.
All right. All right. 9 ball.
Well, can't okay, good. I was about to say my thing's not lighting up. So it's funny you mentioned Resident Evil, because the guy that did Evil Within is actually the maker of Resident Evil 4.
Okay, I didn't know that.
yeah, I can't remember his name right now, and I don't want to butcher it. So, he went on to make this studio and start on this game. To be honest, to me, it kind of has a... I played quite a bit of... I need to finish it, The Evil Within. Because I'm actually in the middle. I beat the chainsaw dude with the helmet. It's Resident Evil. It's, I don't know, you played Resident Evil 4, right?
It's been a good long while since I've touched a Resident game. You're going to have to remind me.
Well, it's sort of like that. It's kind of like, you ever seen, there was a movie that came out years ago called The Cell with Jennifer Lopez? And she goes to that.
Very familiar.
And you go into like a killer's mind. It's like The Evil Within was like that part one. And you go inside this killer's mind. You got to beat things in his mind and stuff. So it's very psychological in a way.
Okay.
For me, I'm very interested because I do like horror games, but to me, it has, I would say, kind of like a Parasite, the anime Parasite style look to it in a way.
Okay.
I can definitely see the look style. I didn't say anything about that, but I can agree.
I kind of been watching it for a little bit. I want to see how this launches, and if it comes out, it should come out pretty well. I mean, I don't have much to say about it, to be honest, to be frankly honest, but overall, even though I don't have much to say about it, it does not mean I don't like it. I do think it's going to be interesting. And if they put their love into it like they did with The Evil Within and Evil Within 2, Evil Within 2 was kind of, I want to say, more open world. I have not played it. I got it. But it's very, the only bad thing is
it's niche because it's very weird too, because it has another game in there, and I'm gonna bring this game back up even though y'all don't know what it is. Siren Blood Curse kind of feel to it. Yeah. Which is, I don't know how to describe it. It's very weird and unusual. Siren's Blood Curse. It came out on PlayStation a long time ago. I got it because it came on PlayStation 4. I think it's like five.
Kind of looks like Dead Out almost.
And it has that look and feel too of a Ghostwire Tokyo to me. But it is a game I think I will pick up and play and probably check it out and see how good it is. I don't know if it's going to be day one now.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Now, granted, this normally isn't my cup of tea of game anyway, so I'm not going to be picking it up. But there is something about it that makes me intrigued to a point. Not only just the fact that it's first person, but he's doing all these jutsus, but the vibe that I kind of get with it, if you're speaking on an anime level, honestly, surprisingly enough, would be Bleach. Like, I feel that Bleach vibe of it, because if you really think about the Bleach universe in general, those lost souls or whatever, they are scary. They're killing, like, these other spirits out there. They're killing people. Like, that is a horror-style script. It doesn't feel that way because it's an anime and everything like that, but if you really lived in that particular era, those things are really scary. And then because the Manos, like all that stuff, like that's when I look at some of these spirits, these yokai that's out there. Like, I kind of think that a little bit. Is it enough for me to get into the game? No. Also, on top of that, it's coming at the tail end of some banger games that's supposed to come out. Assuming none of these games are going to be delayed. Like, we just recently got Arceus, which I know people are getting through still. Sifu just launched today. Then we still have Horizon Forbidden West. We still have Elden Ring. We still have Strangers of Paradise. We still have, like, literally all these different... I think Forspoken. Isn't Forspoken coming out in March?
Yeah, in a few months, I want to say.
It's either March or April or something. Like all these games are just so close together that it just makes the best sense for me to not... Even if I was interested in this game, which I'm really not, I wouldn't be able to get it right now. Because there's other games that's... You said May?
May 24th.
Okay, so it's a little bit out. It's a little bit out. But that is one that I would have to put on the back burner if I was interested in it, just because there's all these other amazing games that's coming out right now that even some that I'm already having to put on my backlog because I know I'm not going to be able to get to it in enough time that I would like to. So, what's cooking with Bandai Namco? Do you want to talk about that? Because Joseph Noop from IGN says this in their article. Bandai Namco announced Tuesday that it plans to develop an IP metaverse for its library of games and spending 15 billion yen or $130 million on the project.
Of course, in America.
First reported by Video Games Chronicle, which is also known as VGC, the three main goals of the Metaverse project includes connecting Bandai Namco with fans of their games, enhancing the value of Bandai Namco's IP, and connecting each IP's world into an interconnected universe known as the All Bandai Namco concept. Bandai Namco also plans to invest 25 billion yen, or $216 million, U.S. dollars, to maximize IP value through a new IP creation, IP projects, and innovation. The metaverse is a popular term in the tech and entertainment world for a persistent virtual world where people can interact with one another and various brands. Several major companies and brands are rushing to get in on the idea, including Disney, Epic Games, Microsoft, Facebook, and Square Enix. Quote, through the IP metaverse, we will establish communities among Bandai Namco and fans, as well as among fans themselves, Bandai Namco shared in its midterm plan presented by to investors. Quote, through these communities and content, we will build deep, broad, multifaceted connections that continue for a long period of time, and we will focus on the quality of those connections. In this way, we will work to maximize IP value over the medium to long term. End quote.
End quote.
So just a little something out there. I mean, we could talk about it if you guys have any concept, like concerns or any thoughts about it, but just hearing that they're trying to tie more of their IPs and stuff like that together is definitely kind of a cool concept. I don't know what this will look like per se, to be completely honest with you, because now correct me if I'm just being an idiot and not understanding this fully, but if you own a, like, I feel like if we own Bandai Namco games and we're on PlayStation, we're technically kind of already in that metaverse. Same thing if you're on Xbox, you're kind of already in that, like, we're still communicating with each other, right?
I guess.
Yeah, I'm not, I guess I'm just still kind of curious as to what this is going to look like in the future, what they mean by like, is this going to be a subscription service, another one? Is that what they're getting at? Because they did say Disney, which is Disney Plus. They did say Microsoft, which is Xbox Game Pass. Like, they did say Facebook, which Facebook was the one that had kind of invented that meta term. So I don't know what this necessarily entirely means, but something to keep an eye out for.
Creating one giant Bandai fandom wiki page? I don't know.
It could be. You may not be far off the mark.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's already one out there. They're just going to put it on the official site and link to it.
Right, exactly, yeah. So,
I don't know.
Yeah. Does anyone have any commentary about that particular one other than just little
Etaverse?
It's a verse of meta. The verse of meta. And then one that's going to be tickling the fancy of It's the Nine Ball, Hellblade 2 Exceeding Expectations. Hope Bellingham from Games Radar says this in her article. The studio behind Hellblade 2 has said that the sequel is so much bigger, it makes the first game, quote, look like an indie game, end quote. In an interview with NME, the Hellblade creator Tamim Antoniadis said, quote, the goal with Hellblade 2 isn't to perfect it, but to create an experience that feels more believable and more refined. Its ambition in terms of scale is bigger. I think Hellblade 2 will make Hellblade look like an indie game. Later in the interview, A-Rod, that's what I'm just going to call him, A-Rod. A-Rod revealed that the studio Ninja Theory has gone in order to create the desired real feel of Hellblade 2. Quote, the idea is believability, the video game designer revealed. Making things look real or believable, and the best way to do that is to base everything on real things. So real, in fact, that it was also revealed that in the interview with that Ninja Theory scouted 40 locations in Iceland to scan into the game's engine and didn't let it let level designers invent new pathways or structures in locations. End quote and story. Naiva, I want to start with you. How amped are you for Hellblade 2?
I'm pretty amped. I'm not saying I'm not at all amped. I'm very amped. It's just, I'm more interested to see where it goes.
Heard that.
Like, if you've seen it, if you had ever beaten it, how it ended, I basically thought that was it. How it ended in a way, because it ended kind of complete. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see how it goes. And it looks like they're taking on, like, the gods and stuff, kind of like God of War. I am kind of concerned because he's talking about they won't. I feel like they should innovate. Like, yeah, y'all believe you should take spots off Iceland and stuff. But I feel like they should add a little bit here and there, maybe a couple touches here and there. I don't think you want to keep it completely the same. Mm-hmm. But overall, I'm extremely excited. I want to see more. I liked the trailer they showed on the what was that, the awards?
It was Video Game Awards, I think.
Yeah,
Video Game
Awards. Yeah.
It looked really good. Looking.
It was very Hellblade.
Team Ninja seems to be having it together, so.
Yeah, they actually, now thinking about it, they did show Hellblade twice. They showed a Video Game Awards 2 years ago, and then they showed more extensiveness this last one. where you saw the baby dude crawling after Senua, I guess that's what her name is.
Yeah.
Senua.
Yeah.
And the voices are back again, including the one guy's voice.
Yeah, I heard that. I played a little bit of the game. I haven't gone fully through. Abyss has already passed me in terms of point spots, but it's like, you really got to be in a mindset to play that game because, like, the whispering can get to you if you're not paying attention. Like, I was having a bad day. I'm like, nope. When I get my head on, I was like, all right, then I'll play it. You know, but it's fantastic. Just from what I played, is so much fun. It's just getting to those points and solving those puzzles and all and getting everything. I'm not going to platinum it. I'm not going to be able to. Probably in time for the next Hellblade, so. But it's fun.
It's basically, the backstory to it is basically, I can give you a quick rundown without spoilers. Basically, her husband or boyfriend died.
I think and it she, was boyfriend.
Her boyfriend, yeah.
I feel and basically, like it.
She tries to make a bargain with Hell, you know, from, you know, literally from Smite, to bring him back from the gates, and it just goes all wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is she should have just let her boyfriend be.
You gotta remember, though, this is back in the olden days where it's like they'll do anything. Because I think what happened was, if I remember right, is something went wrong and he was sacrificed to try wasn't it?
No, he died during a raid.
Was that it?
The other tribe sacrificed him to their gods.
Oh, so he got captured?
Yeah, I mean,
gotcha. That's what it was. Yeah, I knew he got sacrificed.
Remember, she was gone during that. They had sent her away to do something. When she came back,
yeah,
her village was just completely burnt down and everything.
No bueno.
Yeah, it just sucked.
Yeah, it's like her lover.
Yeah, so really she ended up
Well, you know what would have saved them? If they just shared themselves a Raise energy drink, which you guys can get. I don't think they had www.repsports.com back in the day, so you guys don't have to make that same mistake by just going to www.repsports.com, REPPSports.com, type in the LWT game at checkout, get 50% off, and save your loved ones from going to hell. I never really cared too much about Hellblade, so I have not really much to say about it. It looks pretty. It looks good. Just not really the game for me. I also wanted to throw out there before we wrap it up, because that was actually our last news story for the day, but something was breaking earlier today. It's not breaking currently, but it was at 9 a.m. this morning. Nintendo had said that for tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific time, which is 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they're doing a Nintendo Direct. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to be up at no midnight to watch this Nintendo Direct. It's 40 minutes of stuff that they're going to show us. No idea what it's going to be. But, I mean, maybe it's going to be a sneak peek inside. Is Nineball getting some points with Breath of the Wild 2? Is that what's going to happen? Are we going to be getting some Fire Emblem updates? Are we going to get Mario plus Rabbids? Like, what's happening there? We're going to have to find out. So, with that being said, ALWT Gaming is planning on live reacting to it. We will see if that will bear fruit. But if so, we'll let you guys know who those hosts are tomorrow. But 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be going live at 4:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies and gentlemen, We're almost right on the money. We have 2 minutes until 7:30.
I remember the days when we tried to do 7 and we said forget it.
We have a lot to talk about. We just love video games and we love you guys and we want you guys to embrace it. We argue with
each other so much. It's so much fun.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. Top 3 games through February and March that you guys are looking forward to. Starting with Nineball.
Oh, wow.
On the spot.
So, I'm going to say, because I know it's coming out and it's coming for my point system, Total War Warhammer 3.
Okay. I was about to say, if you want me to, I'm actually pulling it up right now so I can pull up a list of games.
Of course, Horizon has got to be on there. Horizon Forbidden West. Everybody's looking forward to that one. 10 days out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting more and more curious in the Elden Ring. Like, at first I wasn't too interested. I was like, as I'm looking more and more at it, I'm like, this is getting kind of interesting. So it's kind of moving up slowly on my list. So I might pick it up here. So those will probably be my three for this month.
All right. Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, and you said Warhammer.
Yeah, of course. Got to get them points.
Mill do a carry.
First on list, Horizon Forbidden West. Pre-orders and deluxe, going full in. Cannot wait. Taking time off. You will not hear from me until I'm done playing that game.
Oh, I forgot about that game.
What game?
Martha is Dead.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about that one.
It's on my wish list.
It's interesting. It sounds interesting for sure. I'm on the fence about that one. But anyways, back to me. Elden Ring for sure. Love the Dark Souls series. Can't wait to hear more about it and see more about it when it finally launches. And then this one's actually on my list. And it's one that I kind of found and I kind of am curious about because I've kind of been getting back into the top-down thing games with Diablo and all. Mm-hmm. But Tunic. Okay. That one I'm very interested to see for it when to come out. No, it's scheduled March 16th to come out. So I really cannot wait to see how that one does and all what we got going for it.
Nice, nice. I do want to give my list, but first, before I give my list, I do want to talk about games that have launched, just so that way we all. For anyone that's watching right now, but also just as reminders for us of what to look forward to in the next couple months. So games that have already come out in this past January. Deep Rock Galactic, which came out on PS4, PS5 on January 4th. Monster Hunter Rise, January 12th. Splunky 2 came out January 12th. Astroneer, January 13th. Shadow Man Remastered, January 13th. God of War...
That's been out.
Yeah, these are which one?
Shadow Man.
It's remastered. Shadow Man Remastered, but also it's on console. It's not PC if that's what you're referring to.
Oh, okay. So it launched on console. Yeah, I picked that up day one.
Yeah, because even right now, God of War, that's coming out on January. That came out on January 14th, but that's PC because it's already been out on PlayStation. Shadow Man. Then they have Shadow Man Remastered again, but it's on Switch on the 17th. Nobody Saves the World, January 18th. River City Girls, January 18th. Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, January 19th. Expeditions of Rome, January 20th. Paparazzi, January 20th. Rainbow Six Extraction, January 20th. Windjammers 2, January 20th. Baby Storm, January 21st. Mousecraft, January 21st. Cannibal Cuisine, January 25th. El Hijo, The Wild West Tale, January 25th. The Artful Escape, January 25th. Circuit Superstars, January 27th. Daemon and Machina, January 27th. Monster Harvest, January 27th. Rugby 2022, January 27th. The Longest Road on Earth, January 27th. Pokemon Legends Arceus, January 28th, and Uncharted Legacy the Thieves Collection, January 28th. That's all came out in January. Then here we have, for February, we have Life is Strange Remastered Collection on February 1st. The Waylanders, the 2nd of February. Now, all these, I'm just going to say the date itself, because you guys already know it's February. Dreamscaper, the 3rd. Sherlock Holmes Crimes and Punishment, 3rd. Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, and this is on iOS and Android, the 3rd. Dying Light 2, Stay Human, the 4th. Ali Ali World, the 8th. Sifu, the 8th. Action Arcade Wrestling, the 9th. Backbone, the 9th. Crossfire X, 10th. Edge of Eternity, 10th. Cardboard Kings, with spelled with a K, 10th. Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, the 10th. That's on Switch. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix. That's also on Switch.
What are these numbers?
Kingdom Hearts 3 on Switch. That's on the 10th. Know by Heart, the 10th. Lost Ark, the 11th. Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires on the 15th. Ooh, I got to look into that. Assassin's Creed, the Ezio Collection, 17th. King of Fighters 15, the 17th. Total War Warhammer 3, 17th. Horizon Forbidden West, the 18th. Destiny 2, The Witch Queen, the 22nd. Monarch, the 22nd. Soul Cresta, the 22nd. Edge of Eternity, the 23rd. Martha is Dead, the 24th. Elden Ring, the 25th. Grid Legends, the 25th. And then lastly for March, we have, and this is again March dates that I'm saying, LX2, the 1st. Far Changing Tides, the 1st. Puzzle Quest 3, 1st. Shadow Warrior 3, 1st. Babylon's Fall, 3rd. Gran Turismo 7, the 4th. Triangle Strategy, the 4th. Spellforce 3, Reforce, the 8th. Aztec Forgotten Guides, the 10th. Chocobo GP, the 10th. Workshop Simulator, the 10th. WWE 2K22, the 11th. Grand Theft Auto 5, and it's on PS5 and Xbox Series X, those versions, the 15th. Phantom Breaker Omnia, the 15th. Tunic, the 16th. Persona 4 Arena Ultimix, the 17th. Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin, the 18th. Ruin Factory, the 22nd. A Memoir Blue, 24th. Ghostwire Tokyo, 25th. Kirby and the Forgotten Lands, the 25th. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, the 25th. Crusader Kings 3, the 29th. Death Stranding's Director's Cut on PC, 30th. Starship Troopers Terran Command, 31st. And The Weird West, the 31st. So of those games that are currently, right now, the top three that I'm looking forward to, I can say this without any remorse because Sifu's out and I have it now, is Horizon Forbidden West, Elden Ring, and is Final Fantasy Origins, Strangers of Paradise.
Forgot about that game.
Yeah, those are the three that I'm most looking forward to now. Let me see a little something here. I see Matrix Prime. I threw something in here about Destructroid, PS5 party betas. A new chat feature.
Yeah, I just seen it next now. Showed up in my Destructoid.
Interesting. Alright. Oh, yeah, where they say, hey, PlayStation. Okay, yeah, I know this.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's an update. Ladies and gentlemen, that does it here for us at ALWT Gaming. Stands for At Least We Tried Gaming, because at least we tried. This, again, stay tuned for tomorrow as we plan to live react to the Nintendo Direct event. You guys will see your guys' host tomorrow at 4:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Thursday, it's followed by we're going to have a Sin segment as we continue to go through Remnant from the Ashes. Try to get as far as we can in that game, beat them bosses, and have a good time there. Until next time, everybody. Control. Alt-sa!
Complete.
Completionist!